Did you catch what the crowd told Jesus at the beginning of today's gospel? They told him about some Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of sacrifices. The Galileans had died violent deaths, and they were telling Jesus. Imagine you were one of those crowd speaking to Jesus in today's gospel reading. What do you think they were hoping for when they described to Jesus what had happened to the Galileans? I'd have to imagine they were looking for some kind of reassurance. They've just told Jesus about how Pilate had had these Galileans killed, and they're probably thinking that Jesus will reassure them in some way. Don't worry, you're believers. That won't happen to you. Or that's because they sinned. You aren't sinners, so you have nothing to worry about. Or Pilate is a bad guy. You're my followers, though. I won't let the bad guy get to you. And Jesus does seem to start off in a way that probably does begin to reassure them. He says, do you think that they suffered in this way and that they were greater sinners than all the rest of the Galileans? By no means. That has to be exactly what they were hoping for. It sounds like Jesus is just about to say that they were not being punished due to their sin. If this were the movie, you could see the crowd winking and high-fiving at each other at this point. They've been reassured that it's not because of their sin that they've been killed. But Jesus continues, but I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. This is where in the movie the camera would zoom into the crowd and you hear them saying, wait, what? That doesn't sound reassuring at all. In case someone missed the point, Jesus repeats himself. Remember the 18 people who were killed when the tower fell on them? You don't think that they were punished for being greater sinners than the rest of Jerusalem, do you? By no means. But you'll die too if you don't repent. Just when the crowd thinks that Jesus might be about to reassure them, he reminds them that they might die too. But to be clear, we're all going to die. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about a physical death. He is talking about spiritual death. That if the crowd doesn't repent, that they will suffer in eternal life. In that way, I think this reading is perfect for Lent. What did we hear when we received our ashes on Ash Wednesday? Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus isn't asking anything terribly different of the crowd today, in today's gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus wants us to turn away from sin, and Lent is about training us to do that. If we can detach for just 40 days, imagine how much better we'll be focused on God. Whether we gave up chocolate or coffee or TV or Instagram reels, imagine how much closer we can be to God just by taking that time that we used to focus on those things and instead turned to God and formed a relationship with Him. Imagine how much we'd benefit by turning away from sin, away from those near occasions of sin too, and turning towards God. Imagine what good we could do in our lives if we weren't focused on those things that detract us from God, but instead are focused on God Himself. And that's what Jesus wants of the crowd. He wants them to see that physical death might not be a punishment for sin, but spiritual death might be. He wants them to see that it's not about whether the Galileans had sinned and as a result they were killed by Pilate. We won't die of physical death as a result of punishment for sin. We are all going to die of physical death, and some may be worse than others, but it's about what we do in leading up to that that matters. It's about whether we turned away from sin. It's about whether we believe in the gospel. It's about whether we're placing God first. But notice what our readings also tell us about God. Let's pay attention to the parable that he tells. The fig tree hasn't produced for 3 years, and the owner says, cut it down. It's wasting soil. The gardener tells him, no, leave it for one more year. I'll cultivate it. I'll fertilize it. And if it doesn't bear fruit again next year, you can then cut it down. We're the tree, friends. Jesus is the gardener. Jesus knows there have been times we haven't borne good fruit. He knows that there's still work to be done. He knows whether we've repented. He's telling the owner to give it another year. He wants us to have a chance to repent. He's not looking to punish us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. This isn't even the only time in our readings that God does this. Think back to the first reading. When Moses encounters God in the burning bush, he isn't out looking for God. He was tending the flock and came to Mount Horeb. God then appeared to him in the burning bush. It was God burning the bush but not consuming that drew Moses to it. It is God in the rest of the story of Exodus that pulls his people out of Egypt from the suffering that they have there and takes them to the promised land. It is God that saves them from Pharaoh. God was always in that case searching for Moses and searching for the Israelites. He is always searching for us. It's not as if God just sits by and waits to see if we turn back to him. He is always seeking us out. Yes, we do need to turn away from sin and turn back to God, but we have a God who is always seeking us. As the psalmist says, he pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion. Notice that these sentences are written in the active voice. It is not the case that we are passively turned back to God by accident. We do not just end up in God's good graces. He calls us back. He heals us. He redeems us. He calls us with kindness and compassion. As much then that we're expected to turn away from sin, we should also recognize that God wants us to succeed in doing that. So we're a little over halfway Lent, as Bishop Brennan mentioned at the beginning of Mass. These readings can be a good reminder for us to push through the rest of Lent, to make our sacrifices about drawing nearer to God. If the first half of our Lent hasn't been excellent, let's let today's readings be a reminder and a reinvigoration for us. Let's finish strong. Repent and believe in the gospel. If the first half of Lent hasn't been fulfilling, or it has been fulfilling, keep it up. Either way, remember that God is waiting for us at the end. These 40 days are not just an endurance test to see if we can give up something for 40 days and then go right back to it at Easter. This is an opportunity for us to turn away from sin, away from temptation, and away from those worldly things as much as we can permanently. And remember that God wants us to succeed in that. He wants to see us with him at the end of those 40 days. He wants to call you to him. He wants you to come to him. He wants that you should give up what's holding you from him permanently. So this week and the remaining weeks of Lent, I'm going to challenge us to think back to the admonishment that we received at Ash Wednesday. Repent and believe in the gospel. Use this as an opportunity to turn towards God, to prevail over our own temptations. We should take that opportunity to try to do that and turn back to God during these 40 days.